One at Bible study last week, we see him because we're giving him a show.
Yeah. Well, he came down at 7:30 thinking we were having Bible study.
Oh, they've been out of protest.
I don't know. He just left. He was 15 minutes late.
Started.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was 15 minutes late.
Let's go to Romans 14.
Did you say 14? Did you mean that?
Romans 14. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he approveth or alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat or do anything else, because it's not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, there's really only two positions. There is faith and there's sin. There's no other position. And faith never goes up to your mountaintops for solutions. It never goes to, faith has no reference to anything that you can conceive of. It has no reference to your talents, no reference to your past, no reference to anything in time and space, because faith's only reference is to the Father in eternity. So how do you have faith? There's only one way, by total emptying of self. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's no use ranking sin. Oh, homosexuality is bad, but hypocrisy is good. Now, how did this, what is this about? Where did this start? What's going on here? And where we're studying, it says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can ever be justified. You can't do anything. You can never be right. So let's go see what happened way back in Genesis. Genesis 3.
Joy Santa got a lot uglier.
How did she been taking like those hormone things?
Kind of thing, yeah.
Mrs. Skippy has got a beard.
And facial hair.
I don't know how I got it.
Genesis 3, where are you? Every story in the Bible revolves around the third chapter of Genesis. Every ordinance of the law, every human condition, the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was seminal. It was forever changed the human race. And so let's see what the fruit of the fall here is. The first fruit of the fall is, who told you you were naked? And that's in everything. Who told you you needed anything? Who told you you should be different than you are? Who told you that things should be in the world or situation should be any different than they are? There's only one that told you, and that's the serpent. Or the son of the serpent, Buckner's favorite chapter. So let's see. And then, of course, then there's then you become victims. The woman told me. The serpent beguiled. The woman said, the serpent, Adam said, the woman did it. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat all. Thou shalt eat all the days of thy, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, an equal translation of that, upon thy belly shalt thou go, is you shall be led by your appetites. And all that you will eat all the days of your life is dust. No matter what it is that gives you sustenance and satisfaction, it's dust. If you want gold, diamonds, it's all dust. If you want fame, education, it's all dust. Because upon your belly, you are going. That's the curse. Unless you believe in the comic book theory of religion, and there's this talking serpent. Your mind is the serpent. Everybody believe that?
Those are like the two voices that you can hear. You hear the one that says all the things that serve on the same, or you have to be God.
So we've got, upon thy belly shalt thou go, or by thy appetite shalt thou be led all the days of thy life, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Okay, no, you can't have the situation where the serpent accepts Jesus as his personal Savior or makes a decision for Christ and then he stops eating dust. It's like asking a leopard to change his spots or a pig to fly. Now, all of you, all of us, all our lives have been trying to get to the better dust. Finest dust, especially trust fund babies. They just... I'm sorry, I shouldn't pick on it.
Trust fund?
Trust fund babies.
Oh, trust? Dust fund.
Trust or dust, you notice they rhyme. Tust, trust, and dust. Dust fund babies.
Dust fund.
Notice I put the emphasis on babies. What are you laughing at?
Dust bunny babies.
Dust bunny babies?
Or bumpy babies.
All right. And I will put enmity between thee, and he's talking to the snake, your mind. I will put enmity between thee. Enmity is a word that's the hatred that is so strong that one of you has to die. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now this predicts the virgin birth, because a woman doesn't have a seed. This is zera. It's the sperm. So he's putting enmity between the woman and the serpent, and between the seed of woman and the serpent. It shall bruise thy head. It, meaning the seed of woman, the function of the seed of woman's coming into this world was to bruise or crush the head of the serpent. That's what Jesus Christ did. He's not going to do it. He did it. You got it? And you can never again go back to all of the familiar points of reference for how you respond to all of the different situations that you run into in life. You can never go back to the serpent for advice. Now, you can't know this until you know that this mind is a serpent. You can't know that until you've pushed and run all the possibilities that your mind can conceive of, until you find out there is no there. There's nothing your mind can do that can offer you anything that is of any value except better dust.
And you find out it lies and lies and lies.
That's right. That's all it does is lie. Everybody understand this?
It's interesting to always see how easy it is to look at someone else and say, boy, their mind really lies to them.
I know. That's why I've always said to you for all these years.
Thank God we have Gary.
Yeah.
And yet to me.
I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The best that the evil one can do is bruise your heel, affect how you walk.
Which is really a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It's because that's...
Without that, you'd never stop.
Right. You would continue. You would. So now, you cannot possibly come to this place of the total emptying of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but emptied himself. All right. Made himself of no reputation. Total 100% empty. Well then, what do I do? That's why what we studied in Numbers. If you have more than one option, you do nothing. You wait. And no matter what it looks like, you wait. You can never rise above the cloud. And you rise above the cloud, which is one of the five I will of Satan, or your mind. You rise above the cloud, and you go above the cloud so that you make a decision. Anybody done that lately? Like today or yesterday? Let's go to Isaiah 40. Verse 17. All nations, all people, before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing. Vanity, our total and complete futility. The word for nations is the Hebrew word am, which means people. All peoples are counted as nothing. Oh no, but I've been taught that God loved me.
This is Old Testament.
You want to go to the New Testament and see?
Before the Ten Commandments.
God's love is in one location. God's love is in his Son. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. I hate to tell you this, but God doesn't even see anything else except the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to convict you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, not because of what you do, but because you have not totally relied on God. Of righteousness, because he has gone to the Father, and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Anything else that you're judging or thinking is right is meaningless, because the parameters are so wide. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity of futility. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman maketh a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Now, again, this is what each of us do in our minds. Every time you accept an idea as truth, every time you accept something to do as the thing you got to do, then you have either hired a workman or you've created it. You really see that? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle. I knew he was going to do that. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So people get mad at me when I call the human race God's sperm cells because they contain the seed of life, which is Christ, but God calls them grasshoppers. Which would you rather be, a sperm cell or a grasshopper? Shut up, Gary. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Now that's to everybody. Oh no, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And all you have to do is take this course and you'll find out what God's calling is for you. Blithering idiots.
That's a good scripture for Pentecost too, that whirlwind thing.
Amen.
Blows everything away. There's not nothing left to deal with.
To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Lord? Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names and by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait. What do you wait for? What does that mean? If you believed what we read yesterday or the day before about the waiting is, if there's any doubt, if you have to make a decision between certain, any number of options, you do nothing because the cloud is down. You do nothing. You wait. Now, do you have the faith to wait? He's put a million obstacles in your path. and you obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead, and yet you gave it God's, you said God was doing it. No, God wasn't doing that. He was putting the obstacles in your path so you would stop. Be in rest. Be at peace. He doesn't need your mind, except he needs it empty. That you can live by faith. I've often said that a believer doesn't ever have to make a decision. That's not true. A believer never makes a decision. There's not one option in the scriptures. And anything that you think up to do is not of God. Period. None of this will make any sense unless you've dedicated the temple. You are the temple of the living God. If the temple is dedicated, then you have to stop that religion that you're so well aware of that goes on in you. It's the religion of the instead of Christ. He's always going to think up good things to do, ways that you can better yourself. And then men will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. You all knew this once, especially when you were a teenager. You knew that all the whole world system was bullshit. And then you sold out. And then you put God's name on what you sold out to. And you've lost the joy of life. And you spent the rest of your time on earth trying to be something. All you can do is be a better hypocrite. Am I talking to anybody? Read anybody's mail? Any response? I told you shouldn't come to me.
Very lifting.
You've got a response. What's going on in you?
I was just thinking.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your guest, your veterinarian, who I forgot his name.
John. First of all, I heard 5 or 7 things I've never heard before, and I appreciate that. The serpent being in my mind, that totally makes sense.
Do you understand then that you are the instead of Christ? It isn't somebody right. Over in
the
Israel.
The religion going on in me is the instead of Christ. Yeah.
I prefer alternative.
Spit take.
That's the first time you've ever made me do a spit take.
Anything not in faith is sin. In other words, it's that's the lie of our mind is that. What God has given us is not enough, that we will have more, or we can do more for anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what we have to do. We have to go think up evangelistic campaigns to reach the lost.
Let's come up with ideas. Instead, and you're like talking about the whirlwind, it's like when Elijah was under the cliff, and it wasn't in the whirlwind.
Well, let's go. Let's talk about when the hail came during the plagues. If you believe what it says in the Talmud, there were 97-pound hailstones. And then we have people out there passing out gospel tracts to the 97. It's over.
It's already out there.
It's already, and the plagues are all, they're going on constantly. He's just waiting for his people to sit down, get off the judgment seat and hop on the mercy seat. Get out of Babylon, which the cause and effect bullshit of life. Just be. this is what I have to do today, and I have to do this, and this will happen, and this will happen, and that, and then we'll before you know it, you're so far away from him, you can't even find him.
And the curses are very clear. It's that you're going to work, you're told to struggle, and get nothing but thorns and thistles.
And then what little you make, you'll blow on it.
That's right.
Earn money to put in a bag full of holes.
That's right.
To me, still, the most astounding thing is the struggle, the battle, the fight is not against the devil who is coming against the work of the Lord. It's fighting against the Holy Spirit.
It's your flesh, your mind.
It's completely wrong.
That's a fiery dart to the wicked one on your thoughts. Darren, you look like you've been hit with a brick.
No, I'm with you. Continue to cleanse the thoughts. It's not easy.
Empty them.
Empty the thoughts.
So you just take no thought for what you're doing and you do what's in front of you.
Take every
right?
thought captive.
There's never any prudence.
That way, if you're doing a task, you just don't put the importance on it. You don't worry about the outcome and how it's going to look to other people. You just do what's in front of you. Heartedly.
Yeah, again, whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. That means I've got to do my really best because he's a good... No, it means you don't have any investment in the outcome.
Right.
It's not your business.
God's capable of smacking you down.
Work harder.
Yeah. Jeff? I think you see.
I do.
All right. Then you have no more excuses. Yeah, see out of your good eye. Take it, big guy.